relationship. They were away from the temple, but they were still brethren. They still had the mark that God would identify his people with. We have a tendency today to, in human nature, to estimate the condition of God's church by our common reasoning. We think whenever we see a man driving a big fine car and he has a real expensive clothing on, he lives in a big fine home, we can judge him and say, yes, that man must be well off. Likewise, we can judge a man that's walking down the street. We can say that he is destitute. He is in need. He has no job and no money and no friends. We have a tendency to judge by human nature standards. I can tell by looks. We have a tendency to judge churches the same way. But it says here that his churches are not identified by who goes there. Not identified by how large the building is or who has the most committees. Who has the most cars in a parking lot. Who has the largest congregation. God's people are not identified that way. Many think they found the true church when there's nothing there. Many are attracted to a meeting because of a type of formality. Many are attracted because of certain rituals and certain type activities they have that they go on a church. Many are attracted to things that God that man has introduced into the service. They've elevated their self, or they've elevated a service under the pretext of God's name. But this is not a worship to God. This does not denote a service unto God. I'm not saying that the larger churches can't be God's churches. I'm saying they should examine themselves and make sure that they are there because of the mark on the forehead, the work of grace in their heart, and not because they have the best location. God's people are not identified that way. The church, according to scriptures, is preserved in the sanctuary in God. It's not in a certain building. The huge Baptist church in Texas that boasts the membership in the several thousands, the tens of thousands. Remember one time they said they had 39 ball teams. Some of the best ball teams in the city belong to that church. But this is not God's church. If they preach a vain doctrine, if they have anything other than the uplifting of God's habitation, if they have anything other than a mark on the forehead, then it is a hollow and an empty service. God's people, your brothers and sisters, the only way they can be identified is by this mark on the forehead. This is the one that the writer clothed in linen, with inkhorn by his side, put upon the foreheads. He said, he will give you a place of refuge. He will gather them and assemble them and give them a land of Israel, the land of promise. This is spiritual Israel. This is God's kingdom. He will gather his people together. Here is our hope. Even though we're scattered, even though there's not many of us, there is a hope because we're in God's sanctuary, and he will gather you together. He will assemble you and give you the land of promise. It says, when he gathers you and assembles you, this is conversion, this is regeneration. When he allows you to see this, when he allows you to dwell in his habitation, says in the 18th verse of the 11th chapter, then it's your duty. You are to take away the detestable things, the abominations from your service. Anything that has defiled his service, defiled the land, We cannot assemble in God's presence. We cannot worship Him correctly until we purge and cast out anything that might cast a stain, anything that would be an impurity in His service. Cast out all the idols and the images upon the walls that we worship in secret. Cast out all the false doctrines and all the worships that we do. We cannot worship God without it. Said in the 19th chapter, this is why He does it. This is what happens. He says, once you cast out, once you purge these idols, said, then and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. God corrects His people. Those He chose to dwell in Canaan's land, He sanctifies them with a new spirit. They now, with this new spirit, they act under new principles. They walk with new rules. This is because that God has called His people with this new name and this new appearance that God has given you. It will not function. It will not work. I cannot declare myself a Christian. I cannot declare myself a child of God. I cannot declare myself a true worshiper. Even if I put on a new appearance, I call myself by a new name, I cannot do it because it will not function without the Spirit in the heart. That's what God does. That's the mark on the forehead that He put. He put the new Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into your heart. He causes you to want to worship Him. It's God's work. It's a gift to Him, a gift to us from Him, and it's by His promise. The reason He done this, in the 20th verse, it said that they may walk in My statutes and keep My ordinances and do them, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God. This is what I want you to see. This is what people turn around. They get half of it and leave the other half. He said He's done this that we may walk according as He has told us to walk. And they shall be My people and I will be their God. This is what separates the primitive Baptists that believe in a sovereign God from so many of the others. He said, I will be a God to them, but first they shall be My people. When Adam was created, he was not created with a stony heart. If he had, he would have been a reproach unto God. When Adam was created, he was created with a flexible heart. But when Adam corrupted himself, when he committed sin, him and his seed all fell in sin and condemnation. We have corrupted the integrity that God has put in us from the beginning with a pure heart. Adam was created with a pure heart, and he sinned and fell, and we fell with him. We have created in ourselves a stony heart. God takes out that stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. Many people believe this, that God gives this grace to us. But then that's where they change it. They say, yes, God gives me the ability to be a child of God. He implants into me. But then it's up to my free will. It's something I do. It's either to be baptized. It's either to be confessed before the church. It's either to do this or that so that I will be a child of God. I have the free will. I can accept or reject His grace. He gives me the ability, but it's still up to me. I have put myself in that idol position. I have put myself in between the inner court and the doorway of the altar. This is what free will is called. It says they keep the precepts that God has given them, but it's up to them to walk in God's way. It's a detestable man that tries to contaminate God's grace and His glory. When he tries to take away from what God has given us, we got to consider our condition. that if it was not God's grace that provides strength for us, if it was not for Him being around us, we would fail at every minute. It is God's grace that we are here. But won't you see, if we are His people, it's because He has chosen us. He has put a mark on our forehead. He has separated. He secured us. That's why we're His. He says, I will be, they will be my people. This is an evidence that we will be His people. He is the God to us because we are His people. He has separated us out. And therefore, we're His people. Now, most people will try to change it around and says, I will make Him my God, and therefore, He will have to make me His people. But it's the other way around. He made us His people, and now we are to be under Him as God. But for us to be subservient to Him as God, for us to be in His kingdom and enjoy the blessings of His kingdom, we have to be a servant in His kingdom. You cannot be under a king and not be a servant. Unless you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, unless you have Him as your guidance, as your leader, and as your king and guide, and the Holy Spirit in your heart, unless you have Him, He cannot be a God unto you. This is what God has told us. If we are ruled by Him, if we are ruled by this sovereign God of heaven and earth, if the Holy Spirit causes us to walk after His precepts, it's because the Holy Spirit is in us. This holy God that we worship must be bowed down to. We can't have one part of the sentence. He can't call us His children without Him being a God to us. It cannot have one part and ignore the other. But most people leave off part of it. Said, I'll be His child. I will call Him my God. And He'll have to call me His child. Philippian letter says, Paul writes and says, because this Jesus Christ has been manifest in the flesh, because He became obedient to the cross, He became obedient to death, and because God lifted Him up on the third and appointed morning and exalted Him above all other names, that at the sound of His name that every knee should bow and every tongue could confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the Savior we worship. This is the one that put the mark on your forehead, the work of grace in your heart. And He says, because He is this God, our duty is to cast out the detestable and abominations of the land. He says, because He is your God, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. People will cut that sentence off and build a whole doctrine on it. But because He is a God and has put your mark on the forehead, that's why you're supposed to work out your own salvation. Work about your salvation. He has provided your salvation, and you're to cast out the detestable things, to worship the only true and living God. This is a work of grace in the heart by Jesus Christ. He saved you from the foundation of the earth. The covenant of grace was ratified when He's on the cross. But He chose you. And you were saved in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth. And when you work out your own salvation, it's declaring that He is the only true and living God. Declaring that there is no other God around. There's no other idols. And that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. He put that gift in you. He not only give you the ability. Most people will agree to that. He give you the ability to accept or reject. They'll agree He give you the ability. But He also gives you the strength and the direction. He gives you the want to. He is the one that the Holy Spirit calls you to come this morning and say, praise the Lord. You didn't do it for any righteousness that you have of yourself. It's because God has allowed the Holy Spirit to indwell in your heart and allow you to see the blessings of God and makes you want to bow down before Him and say, "Thank you, God. What wilt thou have me to do?" Work out your own salvation. I'd like to announce the doors of the church are open for the reception of members. If anyone has a desire to have a home with the church, this church or any church that has ordained authority here, come now before we close out the meeting. Appreciate you coming. Remember me in your prayers. Remember Brother Rubin. Appreciate the visitors coming and all the churches that's represented. As you come back next month, I'd say Brother Roy Bowles will be here in my place. But if you don't come here next month, come somewhere. Any other announcements I have overlooked? If not, someone have a song. Number 37, page 37. Good one. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all.
I saw the stream, thy flow. say something. Every month I think about it after I go home. Do you do these? Every month there's a beautiful flower arrangement here, and every month is something different, something I've never seen. And I appreciate it. It looks real good. And there's a lot of talent and imagination there, so I appreciate that. And I hope you all do, because every month is something different, and they're very pretty. Thanks for making this thing look good. Any other announcements? All hearts and minds are satisfied. Let's look to the Lord to be dismissed. Most kind and gracious God of heaven and earth, we thank Thee for this day. Thank Thee for the beautiful weather we have. Dear Lord, in our departing time, may we petition unto Thee that Thou might send a rain to this land, that it might nourish our crops and be bountiful to us, dear God. We ask You to be around all the parts of this country that suffers from fires and floods and all of the disasters that happen in this land. Be around about them, O Lord, and cause this land to turn back to Thee, to turn and dig and go in and see the abominations and turn and repent unto Thee. Gracious God, be merciful unto Thee. Be merciful unto this church and all the churches that meet in Thy name. Be with us this day and all the days of our lives, all of our families. Remember Brother Reuben, dear God, and all those that's near and dear to him. Bless us in Christ's name. And amen.
Amen. How about that?